time. Your lunch hour. Mr. Credit here. The Dow's soaring today. Up 93 points. Well, up and down, up and down. Well, we've got a great show put together for you today. The subject of the day, Obamacare. Love it or hate it, it is upon us. Its third birthday just occurred. We got some interesting facts to share with you today. A great panel in the studio. Jim McFall's in here from Neil Dimot. He is my attorney's boss. Jim, welcome, my friend.
Nice to see you again.
Great to have you, and thank you so much for this article. I appreciate all the education you provided us with regard to how insurance works and the law. And this one is the most eye-popping one I've seen yet. And I look forward to reading this to everyone who's listening to the show momentarily. We will essentially give you, and this is from Investor's Business Daily if you want to look it up and read it. We've also posted it on the Facebook page. But it is just shocking when you see what's really there. And it reminds you of that time, and I used to have this button on here, and I've looked for it, and it's not there anymore, but I used to have the soundbite of Nancy Pelosi saying, you have to pass it so we can find out what's in it. I used to have that button. I played it all the time when we first started the show. Somehow it's gone. I've got to figure out a way, Adam, to get that button back on here. I've also got in the studio today my financial planner, Dan Osgood, from freeinvestmentaudit.com. Dan, welcome.
Well, thanks. Good to be here.
Great to have you here because, I mean, we plain and simple, we have to go back to the drawing board when it comes to life planning, financial planning. I mean, we have to – Obamacare is taking this – it's rewriting everything. It's changing everything. I mean, we talk about protecting ourselves, and there's a number of different ways to do that, diversification, long-term care insurance. And, of course, one of the things that does come up – but now has become a bigger issue, or potentially a bigger piece of the pie, is your health insurance. Mm-hmm. I mean, health care is definitely the most expensive thing you're staring at, right?
Generally.
Yeah, generally. That's the thing you're looking at. Hey, this is my biggest potential expense. I can kind of count on everything else to be relatively stable. I mean, even if you look at the cost of housing, rents, although they've gone up, gone down, relatively speaking over a long period of time, pretty stable. Mm-hmm. Pretty stable. Health care costs? Looks like the backside of Everest. I mean, that thing is just, it's 6% a year. It looks like Madoff's graph, you know, of his fund. I mean, and then you've got this thing, which is going to catapult costs forward. It changes the way that we're looking at this. So just wild stuff we have to discuss today. I really look forward to getting into it. I am going to take a piece of your advice, Jim. I'm weaning myself slowly off of Facebook.
So proud of you.
I appreciate you. I appreciate that. And you know, the thing with it is that I have realized that it is more of a distraction than it is anything else. I do still want to inform people. I do still want to make the blog entries available through Facebook, but it's something that I'm not paying much attention to. I'm certainly not voicing my opinions on there much. I might copy an article like I did with this or something like that and share it with people, but I'm just going to kind of stay away from it. I see there being far too many downsides, no real upside. I'm staying away. Now, you can still find me. If we went to school or something, you can still find me on there, send me a message, and I'll get it and all that. But I'm going to take my attorney's boss's advice, and I'm going to stay away from Facebook as much as humanly possible. How about this one? You guys both know what happened to the banks in Cyprus and the people of Cyprus with regard to the banks closing. The last time we talked about this, I mean, I've been to Chicago and back and watched NCAA. I mean, there's so much that has happened since then. The banks still closed. Still closed and will be until at least Thursday. Are you kidding me? How in the world? Now imagine if you're a person in this country. You have money in a bank. It's supposed to be safe there. Then all of a sudden one day they say, you know what, we're probably going to tax the money that you have in the bank. And you freak out. Then they say, you know what, we're not even going to open the bank. We're not going to open it because we don't want you to have the ability to come in and get all your money. We're going to open a couple of ATMs. You know, the line might be a few thousand people long, but you can get $300 out at a time if you want or whatever it is.
They've limited it to 100 euros.
200 euros.
No, 100.
100 euros.
100 euros a day is all you can take out.
100 euros a day. So you can get to 100 euros a day of your money, which is what? About probably $150 or something like that. $125, somewhere in that range. That should be enough to get by. But what if you got 50 grand in there?
It's a lot of days.
That's a lot of days. I mean, we live with such a small amount of stress You know, although we think we live with a lot, but there's such a small amount in comparison to some other people. And this country, by the way, is going to be okay. I mean, it's not like they have riots in the streets or people starving or anything. It's going to be okay. But can you imagine what would happen if your money got completely tied up? It's in the bank where it's supposed to be safe, and they say no. You can't get access to your money more. We're going to actually close the bank down. There's no one to even talk to. Don't even bother calling the 800 number. Just amazing to me, the bank's still closed. You remember when we talked about that last week? Still closed, and for another 2 days at least. Wow. Just if you think you're having a bad day or bad week or something like that, it could get worse. Let's put it that way. So the question of the day is, what's your plan? What is your plan? We've got all these things coming upon us here. And by the way, the stock market today looking incredibly optimistic. Not sure why, but it tends to do this these days. Just we're just up 100. Hey,
just it's 100.
It's Tuesday. Yeah. It's Tuesday. Let's go up 100. What's your plan? What is your plan for healthcare? What's your plan for a decline, a potential decline in the stock market? I mean, one of the things that I believe the market goes higher because of a lot of fundamental reasons, but what's your plan if it doesn't? So many people, Dan, we continue to talk to them. We do the audits for them. They're overweight in risk in their portfolios. Mm-hmm. Because we've seen the stock market go straight up for 4 years, people haven't reallocated. It's okay to get aggressive when the market's, you know, depressed. But when it's flying high, this is when you reallocate and get safe. Mm-hmm. What do you think about the bond bubble that is supposedly set to burst here? I mean, that is one thing that's been – FINRA's come out and made announcements. They've said, hey, this is no longer a safe bet anymore. There's been other people who've come out and experts who have said the bond bubble has to burst soon. What do you think about those comments?
They've been talking about the bond bubble for 3 or 4 years now. So it – generally, the more people are talking about something, the less likely it is to happen. As much of a self-fulfilling prophecy type thought you might have, I don't know. I understand where some of the thoughts are coming from, but who says that bonds are overvalued at this point? If the stock market does all of a sudden turn around and drop by 20%, where's that money going? I guarantee it's going back to bonds.
Okay. So that's a good point.
So it's... I don't know.
When have we ever seen the stock market and the bond market march higher in unison like this before? I mean, I've never seen it. I mean, you could go back and look at the charts. They're so – typically, they're so opposite of one another.
Yeah. Typically, they'd move one and then the other or vice versa.
Yeah. So it's very hard to kind of predict the next step, right? I mean, if both are moving higher, then somebody's wrong, right? I mean, historically speaking, you'd say that someone's wrong here.
Right.
So who is it? Is it the bond buyers? Is it the stock buyers? Or are we just experiencing something that had to take place based on how much cash got pulled out of the market?
I think that's just it. There's still so much cash sitting outside that it's not all going into the stock market, and people are still uncomfortable with the stock market. You were talking about a listener that is just scared of the market.
Yeah.
And I totally understand that.
Yes.
Yeah. I've been uncomfortable with it since 2008. Since 2007.
Spoke with two listeners this morning. One said, you know, he reached out. He asked me a question about investing. He's just afraid. He's just scared. Just, you know, I know I need to get this money into a retirement account. I just don't know where to put it, and I'm just, frankly, scared.
Right. And that person's not alone. There's a huge percentage of the population that feels the same way.
Also spoke to another listener today who just bought a house. Check this out. In Bonita. So bought a house in Bonita, cash buyer, $500,000 house, cash buyer, looked for a year, got outbid three times, cash, got outbid three times. This is in Bonita, 1,700 square foot house. Apparently it's beautiful, but didn't even get everything they wanted. So they spent a year trying to buy a house, paid in cash, end up paying $15,000 over the appraised value. And did not get everything they wanted. Now, you want to talk about demand? You want to talk about cash on the sidelines? I mean, I've never heard or seen a real estate market operating in cash like this one is, especially at these price points. It's unbelievable.
Right.
So I think the amount of cash on the sidelines is tremendous. And I think that the bond market is overbought, but so is the stock market.
Right.
And that could just be a function of all that cash that's on the sidelines that at some point has to get deployed. I mean, we talk about insurance companies all the time, Jim. I mean, they're the ones who are really held to a pretty high standard for investment returns. I mean, insurance companies have to make money on their money. These low interest rate environments are just another thing that causes healthcare costs to go up, right? And insurance costs.
In part, another problem with healthcare costs are just demographics. Baby boomers are getting older.
Yeah.
And they need more healthcare. And if you live in California, which we all do, you're going to take it in the shorts because it has an older population than many states. So healthcare costs are going to rise faster in California than elsewhere.
They're going to rise higher, faster here?
Yes.
Wow. Great. So take that along with the state taxes, and Texas is starting to look pretty darn good. Yeah. Well, actually, this might be a good time for me to get this in, Dan.
Not only are we going to New Hampshire, Tom Harkin, we're going to South Carolina and Oklahoma and Arizona and North Dakota and New Mexico. We're going to California and Texas and New York. And we're going to South Dakota and Oregon and Washington and Michigan. And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, it's been too long. It's been too long. I think it's been a year and a half since I pushed that button. I just had to do it. We were talking about it today. Oh, maybe that's what he was talking about. He was talking about going to different places where the healthcare cost was going to be less expensive. That's why he was listing off all those states. Mm-hmm. Didn't have anything to do with winning the presidency.
No.
So what's your plan? 20% decline in the stock market. Are you prepared for it? Even the people who are very bullish expect that to happen. Now, if a 20% decline in the S&P, don't just assume that that means a 20% decline in your portfolio. What if your risk is overweight? You might lose 40. This is why you have to get the investment audit. You have to be prepared for this. What about your healthcare insurance? Is your employer paying for it now and you just expect that to continue to happen? Because that's a very dangerous prospect right now. These are all things that you can plan for, but you've got to start doing it right away. These things are around the corner, and you don't want to be in with the pack. Be ahead. Be smarter than everyone else. FreeInvestmentAudit.com is the website. Or call the helpline. I'll connect you with Dan directly. 888-888-0154 is the number. 888-888-0154. Let us help you. That's what we're here for. When we come back, I'm going to read you the article. Obamacare turns three. We're going to take your calls today. I'm going to give the number out. In just a few minutes, Obamacare turns three. More facts rising to the top will make you smarter than everyone else. Stick around.
If you'd like to speak with Mr. Credit, just visit talktomrcredit.com. That's talktomrcredit.com.
Welcome back. Thanks for hanging out. Here it comes. Listen, I do this show to help you as much as I possibly can, any way I can. And I will do that. I guarantee you it. But one of the things that I've made a promise to myself to do is to always tell you the truth. Even if it's unwanted, if it's ugly, you don't want to hear it, I still have to tell you. Because I made a promise to myself a long time ago that was going to be the whole point of this. A lot of people don't want to tell you the truth. They want to tell you what you want to hear. It's not what we do here. You're not going to get any help from that. This article from Investor's Business Daily, and I appreciate Jim McFall from Neil Dimot for sending it to me. Obamacare turns three, 10 disturbing facts about health law. Here it goes. Just over 3 years ago, then-Speaker Nancy Pelosi famously quipped about Obamacare that, quote, "We have to pass the bill so you can find out what is in it." I've got to get that button back. But only now, as Obamacare's third anniversary approaches, President Obama signed it into law March 23rd, 2010, by the way, is the country starting to find out what the sweeping health care overhaul will actually do. Obamacare backers typically tout popular features that went into effect almost immediately. The law expanded Medicare's drug coverage, for example, and let children stay on their parents' plans until they turn 26. But the bulk of Obamacare doesn't take effect until next year. That's when the so-called insurance exchanges are supposed to be up and running, when the mandate on individuals and businesses kicks in, and when the avalanche of regulations on the insurance industry hits. As this start date draws near, evidence is piling up that Obamacare will, frankly, boost insurance costs. Officially, the Affordable Care Act, not so affordable, also known as Obamacare, promised to lower premiums for families. But regulators decided to impose a 3.5% surcharge on insurance plans sold through these federally run exchanges. There's also a $63 fee for every person covered by employers. And the law adds a, quote, premium tax that will require insurers to pay more than $100 billion over the next decade. Who do you think that's going to roll down to? The Congressional Joint Committee on Taxation expects insurers to simply pass this tax on to individuals and small businesses, boosting premiums another 2.5%. This thing is going to push millions of people off employer coverage. In February, the Congressional Budget Office said that 7 million people will likely lose their employer coverage thanks to Obamacare, nearly twice its previous estimate. That number could be as high as 20 million, the CBO said. It's going to cause premiums to skyrocket. In December, state insurance commissioners warned Obama administration officials that the law's market regulations would likely cause, quote, rate shocks, particularly for younger, healthier people forced by Obamacare to subsidize premiums for those who are older and sicker. Quote, we are very concerned about what will happen if essentially there is so much rate shock for young people that they're bound not to purchase health insurance at all. This is according and said by the California Insurance Commissioner, Dave Jones. That same month, Aetna CEO Mark Bertoloni said Obamacare will likely cause premiums to double for some small businesses and individuals. And a more recent survey of insurers in five major cities by the American Action Forum found that they expect premiums to climb an average of 169%. It's going to cost people their jobs. The Federal Reserve's March Beige Book on Economic Activity noted that businesses, quote, cited the unknown effects of the Affordable Care Act as reasons for planned layoffs and a reluctance to hire more staff. Around the same time, Gallup reported a surge in part-time work in advance of Obamacare's employer mandate. It found that part-timers accounted for almost 21% of the labor force, up from 19% 3 years ago. Meanwhile, human resources consulting firm Adecco found that half of the small businesses it surveyed in January either planned to cut their workforce, not hire new workers, or shift to part-time or temporary help directly because of Obamacare. It's going to tax the middle class, folks. IBD, Investor's Business Daily, reported in February that much of the $800 billion in tax hikes imposed by Obamacare will end up hitting the middle class, including $45 billion in mandate penalties, $19 billion raised by limiting medical expenses, medical expense bans, okay, using FSAs to buy over-the-counter drugs. It's also going to add to the deficit. The Government Accountability Office reported in January that Obamacare will likely add $6.2 trillion in red ink over 75 years if independent experts are right and several of its cost control measures don't work as advertised. It's flat out just going to cost more than promised. The Congressional Budget Office now says Obamacare's insurance subsidies will cost $233 billion more over the next decade than it thought last year. And imagine how much these numbers are going to go up as they continue to be revised. It's also going to be a bureaucratic nightmare. Consumers got their first glimpse of life under Obamacare when the Health and Human Services Department released a draft insurance application form, 21 pages. Applying for benefits under President Barack Obama's health care overhaul could be as daunting as doing your taxes, the AP concluded after reviewing the form. We're also going to see issues with doctor shortages. And the bottom line is millions of people are going to be left uninsured. After 10 years, Obamacare will still leave 30 million people without coverage, according to the CBO. As Investor's Business Daily reported, that figure could be much higher if the law causes premiums to spike and encourage people to drop coverage despite the law's mandate, which, Jim, I think is exactly, as my opinion, is exactly what's going to happen. You, at Neil Dymott, you have experienced or you have been consulted on what is expected to take place with your insurance premiums. What have you found out?
Well, we've been told that this year we're looking at an 11% increase, and which we were happy with. That was good. I'm aware of another law firm in town that had an over 30% increase in their premium. But we've also been told to expect another 25% increase next year. So in 2 years, you're looking at, because it's 25% on top of the 11%, so when you compound it, you're looking at almost 40% increase in a two-year period of time. It's unsustainable for small businesses to absorb that kind of shock.
That's unbelievable. Now, you found some of this stuff out, especially that you'd figured out already, the 60-some dollar charge per employee covered, which is obviously has to get at some point in most businesses going to get paid by the employee. But you found that out when you were looking for long-term care options.
We did in part. Although the health care charge, that surcharge is a health care related item, we did become aware of it when we were looking at other types of insurance coverages. Many, many companies are already passing that charge on to the employee, at least in part. For instance, many businesses don't offer spouse's insurance. And many businesses that do offer the spouse insurance are now assessing a $100 charge for that spouse that would cover this charge and then some of the onerous paperwork that they have to deal with. I mean, nothing's free.
Yeah, no, nothing's free. It's definitely not easy. That's for sure. You know, maybe Howard Dean wouldn't have been so bad. I don't think he would have done this to us. No. This is just, it's amazing. Listen, if you'd like to sound off about Obamacare, or if maybe you'd like to tell us what's so great about it, something that maybe we're not seeing, love to hear from you. We're going to take calls in just a few minutes. Here's a phone number called 888-888-0154. Let us know. What do you think? Do you think it's the greatest thing since sliced bread, or could you do without it? 888-888-0154. And there's another potential tax hidden there as well, right, Jim, with the increase in premiums kind of eventually setting off another tax.
Yeah, most people are familiar with the concept, or they heard about the idea of Cadillac plans, which are very expensive insurance plans. Most people weren't worried about it because their plans didn't qualify as Cadillac plans, but the statute doesn't have an inflation rider on what constitutes a Cadillac plan. So, for instance, our health insurance, which is not considered a Cadillac plan, after a couple of years of 40% increases, we will be a Cadillac. Both of our insurance plans will be Cadillac plans within about 4 or 5 years.
Which means that you'll then have to pay additional taxes.
Yeah, we'll have to. There'll be a surcharge levied against the employer. So your employers are going to be stuck with a position they can continue to pay these increased premiums, which they probably aren't going to be in a position to afford. They can pay the additional taxes, or they can give you cheaper insurance. And cheaper insurance is not as comprehensive.
Right.
So they are penalizing employers who provide good benefits.
What sense does that make? So if the prices go up, then you have to pay an additional fee? I mean, this is along the same lines of logic as taxing people to make more money. It's just ridiculous. Plus, not only that, but there's also a lot of employers who are going to be forced to just cut coverage and pay the fines.
Well, the fines, when you look at per employee costs, $7,000 or $8,000 per employee, and you compare that to if I don't provide health insurance, I get assessed a $2,500 sanction, it becomes very tempting not to provide insurance.
Right? It's so much cleaner. I mean, if you're the attorney for someone who owns a big business and they're going, well, here are all of our options. I mean, a lot of times it seemed like it would just kind of fall down. You know, the lowest point there for the water to flow to would be, well, you know, it's a lot cleaner and easier if we just cut this thing off. It's going to be cheaper. It's definitely going to be cleaner. There's a lot less liability, you know, potential. There's way less paperwork. Let's just cut it.
The more cynical among us think that that was always the plan.
Really?
You're forcing everyone to go to these government exchanges, so you're essentially forcing everybody to go to certain plans. You're going to see doctor shortages because I've seen polls as high as 60% of doctors are considering retiring early because they're not going to make any money and no one wants to work for free.
Yeah. No, I actually – that was actually the one paragraph I did not read in this article was about the shortage of doctors, and it was the Physicians Foundation that did that survey, and they found that almost 60% of doctors say Obamacare has made them less optimistic about the future of healthcare, and they would retire today if they could. Wow. All right, here's what we're going to do. We don't do this very often. We're going to open up the phone lines. If you have an opinion about Obamacare, or you know what? If you're an Obamacare expert, that'd be great if we could get an Obamacare expert to call in today. I'm going to give you the very special phone number. Or if you just want to tell us, what do you think? Call in anonymously. Don't be afraid. We're all friends here. It's just, this is your right to sound off. This is part of it. This is part of America that's so great. You can say whatever you want. You can call in with a fake name. I don't care. Here's the number. 619-786-7853. 619-786-7853. Call in. Tell us what you think. Obamacare is the subject. It's all about you. Want to make you smarter than everyone else. Stick around.
If you'd like to speak with Mr. Credit, just visit talktomrcredit.com. That's talktomrcredit.com.
All right, welcome back. Short period of time today. The phones will be open. Kristen, I see you. You're up first. If you want to try to get in, 619-786-7853. Don't forget, you can get a free consultation with my attorney. He's a busy guy, but you can get it on the books today. All you have to do is call this number. I'm going to give it to you in a second. Get your life plan together. So if you don't have estate plans yet, you know how important it is. You know it. If you want to be smarter than everyone else, you have to have an estate plan. You've got to have these things put together now. It's not just about enough to have a will. You've got to have an entire estate plan. We're talking about healthcare directives. We're talking about getting your power of attorney for finance. All of the things that we used to think were just for the rich people, just for the people who had tons of money to throw around. This is for the smart people. And it's not so expensive that only rich people can do it. You can do it, and you can get a free consultation with my attorney. Just call today to speak with Jared Causa from Neil Dymott. 619-238-1712 is the number. Mention Mr. Credit and get your free untimed consultation with my personal attorney. 619-238-1712. All right, so Kristen, you're up first. You're on with Mr. Credit. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic. What's your opinion on Obamacare? What have you got for us today?
Well, I'm calling in as an expert on Obamacare. I am a certified healthcare reform specialist, and I am currently finishing my PhD, and my dissertation is on healthcare reform. So,
wow.
I like to say that I know the bill 70%, and I've read it now twice, getting ready to read it for the third time. So
wow.
I'm certainly here to help and give comments, and I meet with clients every day to talk about what healthcare reform is going to do with their business and what it looks like. And certainly with all the changes that are happening every day, you know, my expert opinion is obviously be educated, know what's going on, but also know what your exposure is going to be. I think there's a lot of wrong information out there about healthcare reform. For example, I know right after the elections came out, there were some, you know, heads of big companies coming out saying, move all your employees to part-time staff. Well, obviously, we know that there's this full-time equivalent equation. So really, that doesn't insulate you from the taxes that are inside of healthcare reform. I do talk to my clients on an everyday basis that there are 41 taxes inside of healthcare reform of which 21 of those affect employers in some way, shape, or form.
Kristen, who are your clients? You mentioned a couple times your clients. Who are the people that you are giving this advice to and who you are meeting with?
Absolutely. Great question. So my clients are really mid-sized employers. So I'm located in San Diego, so I handle a lot of San Diego-based clients as well as nationwide clients. Franchise space, the restaurant space especially, is really where they're struggling understanding healthcare reform. They have a high population of part-time employees. And so we really sort of look at anybody that's really employing over 30 employees on up to about 500 employees. That's really sort of the mid-space that I spend the majority of my time dealing with clients.
Okay. And so are you a self-proclaimed Obamacare expert, or is there do you go through a class and get a certification? How does that take place?
So there's actually a class, and I do have the certification, and then obviously my PhD at the end of my dissertation, which will be at the end of this year, that I will be a doctor in healthcare reform, but a doctor in business.
A doctor? All you have to do is go get a PhD, and then you'll understand Obamacare. That's what it boils down to. That's all it takes. Just go get a PhD in healthcare, and boom, you've got it. Okay, so what is it that – did you hear the article that we read from IBD?
I did.
Now, was there anything in there that was wrong or inaccurate or that we missed?
No, you know, I think the article really summarizes the high-level points. I think the only thing that I would add to that – is obviously talking about the exchanges and doing some information and gathering data on the exchange. Here in California, we have a state marker about where our exchange is at, and we are sitting at 21% of our exchange is done at this point. So the majority of our exchange is not even done. So I think when employers are making decisions about what to do, we have an element that they don't understand yet because it's not done. And so I think there's a lot of things that we can do. There's really four buckets that we can evaluate. Three out of the four of them we know today. The exchange bucket is sort of the bucket that's the unknown bucket as of right now.
Okay. The exchange bucket is an unknown bucket. Are there any other unknown buckets?
Well, we don't know if the taxation is going to stay at that $2,000 or $3,000 tax. So that would be another variance. We know that obviously if the employers are not giving affordable care, if they're not giving care at all, if they're not offering benefits at all, we know that it's going to fall into one of those two buckets, the $2,000 or the $3,000. So we also don't know what the carriers are going to do as far as their increases go on employer-based policies. We know, obviously, on your article here that increases are happening, and it could be double-digit. It could be as high as, I think, 169%, which is what is on this article. It could also, you know, we don't know what the carriers are going to do. So I think a lot of employers are just frustrated with the unknown.
Yeah, agreed. Now, my attorney's boss is in the studio today. He's got a lot of experience working for insurance companies and through Neil Dimott here. He's got a question for you. Jim McFall, go ahead.
Hi, Kristen. Do you see any of your clients moving some of their work to either offshore or something like that? And what I'm asking is, I know of at least one law firm that doesn't use secretaries anymore, but everybody dictates it's digitally sent to India and comes back the next day. So a firm like mine, you have a lot of secretaries. Some firms don't. They will avoid having to pay additional health care costs this way. Do you see some of your clients trying to move things either offshore or hiring outside sources?
That's a great question. Not offshore yet. It doesn't mean that I'm not anticipating that. Where I'm seeing my employers really focused on, and again, the mid-size employers, people that have 80 employees to about 100 employees, I'm seeing them look at staffing agencies. I'm seeing them look at seasonal workforce. I'm seeing them look at any way that they can change their workforce to get around some of the taxation inside of healthcare.
Wow, amazing stuff. Well, you know, here's the good. Kristen, thank you very much for your call. I really do appreciate that. We found an Obamacare expert here. Can you believe it? A certified Obamacare expert. Thank you very much for calling in, Kristen. Well, at least, you know, the good news is Obamacare did create one job. for or at least, you know, maybe a handful of people. I mean, that's the first certified expert I've seen. I'm going to have to get in touch with her and bring her back on the program at some point. We've got to find out more about what's really going on. There's apparently an actual certification for this. There's a whole process. She's getting her PhD kind of at the perfect time. Can you imagine if you're like the first Obamacare expert? I mean, she could probably get on CNN or CNBC.
It's a cha-ching.
You're going to get paid for that. Yeah. Wow, amazing. I have so many questions I want to ask to Kristen. We just don't have time. But what an amazing concept to have such a robust set of legislations and taxes and laws and changes for something that is so important, our health. I mean, come on. What's number one here? And everyone's in the dark. I mean, we just found the first expert ever. Just happened to call into the show. This is the thing that I don't like legislation where they just basically say,
well, you're going to eat it whether you like it or not.
I hate that. But that's kind of where we are. That's what we've got. Kristen, thank you very much for the call. Sorry we couldn't take any other calls. We do have to move on, but we will be getting back to this. You will hear again from her. I will make sure of it. Stick around. We'll make you smarter than everyone else.
If you'd like to speak with Mr. Credit, just visit talktomrcredit.com. That's talktomrcredit.com.
Welcome back. Thanks for hanging out. I can't believe it. We've actually found an Obamacare expert. We are going to be bringing her on the show again. Dow Jones up 112 points today. Yippee! Everything's rocking and rolling. We're back where we... Here's the thing. The S&P still hasn't made a new all-time high yet.
It's within 2 points.
But it's getting very close. And that was kind of, for me, that was the confirmation that, you know, I'm very neutral, you know, protect yourself like usual, avoid risk, be as risk-averse as possible. You know, make sure you've got a way to pad your portfolio in case we do see that downturn. But that S&P makes a new high and closes at a new high, Dan. I know you can't say anything, but I'm telling you right now, this thing runs to the moon. Who knows where it goes from there? Because the Dow's already made new highs. The Dow's already creating formations and consolidating above at new highs, which is a bull flag. Should go higher from there. But the market's been running on the S&P, so we're, what, 2 points away from an all-time high in the S&P? That happens, and look out. Now, off what news? I don't know. There's nothing there. I mean, just that they're, you know, holding people's money hostage in other countries.
It's because Cyprus is going to open the banks again on Thursday.
On Thursday? So then Thursday we'll make a new high in the S&P.
The Russian oligarchs will get their money back.
Well, what's going to happen here, the thing about this Obamacare, there's a couple things I wanted us to really be able to take away from this today was, number one, you need to know the truth. Okay, you got to know what's there. You know, it's funny because I've been looking for an expert for so long. I even reached out to a guy in Texas. His name is Jeff Crilly. And Jeff Crilly sends me every single day an email with good people who are experts in certain fields and says these people would love to be interviewed on the radio. Okay, sends me that list every single day. And he's never sent me an Obamacare expert. And I asked him, I emailed him back. I said, Jeff, what is, you know, can you help me find an Obamacare expert? And he said this to me. Now, this is a guy who's been done nothing but share and been very generous for years. And he said, if you find an Obamacare expert, don't tell anybody. He's like, don't tell me. Don't tell anyone else. You get them. You hold on to them. Get them to sign a contract or something. But you don't give that information away. So that is how valuable that is. I don't think you'll hear an Obamacare expert, or at least I haven't, on any other radio show. So we're going to be bringing her back for sure. But a big part of this and a big part of your financial plan, Dan, is always going to be accounting for healthcare costs. So in this type of situation where we know things are going to take place, we know businesses are going to try to avoid the cost in every fashion they can or minimize the cost any fashion they can, whether it's creating new corporate entities or outsourcing employment or just paying the fee, whatever it is, this is going to drastically change how a lot of people conduct and execute their financial plan. I mean, how many people already have a plan in place where they have employer coverage? Then all of a sudden that goes away, and we've got to completely reallocate things.
Right. And that that emphasizes the value of a regular review of what your plan is and what your goals are and how you're heading down the right road. And that's a speed bump or even a complete detour that you need to now sit down and reevaluate based on this new information. What do we need to change to still get to the end goals that we're shooting for?
Yeah, that's Dan Osgood, my financial planner from freeinvestmentaudit.com, where you can have your portfolio audited for free for risk, cost, and, of course, what do you actually own? And this is when we talk about financial planning, and one of the things that really makes us a good team for this is because I believe in the same things you do, which is doing what's absolutely right for people, helping them understand their situation, but also, you know, being risk averse, going, hey, wait a minute, how much can I lose here? And I think that the biggest potential danger for someone's portfolio might not even be the stock or the bond market or gold, but it's healthcare.
Right.
That's what we're talking about right now. I mean, that is the bomb. That's the bubble that's setting to burst here. And I can't think of a higher priority for your money. So what do we do here? I mean, we've got to get long-term care, but we've got to come up with some way to game plan for this thing.
Yeah, it unfortunately, like Kristen mentioned, she's read that thing twice and feels that she's comfortable with 70% of it.
And congratulations to her for being so efficient her digestion.
That's, what, 1,100 pages? That's a lot of information to digest. There's plenty of people that have tried to read it that still don't have anywhere near that knowledge of it. So it's hard to really create a plan because there's still so much unknown that's truly unknown.
So what do we have to do then? Do we have to set aside a cushion? I mean, you know, I look at these things and I go, all right, well, okay, today it costs me $500 a month to have health insurance for my family. Well, do I need to cushion for 1,000? I mean, if we project out costs, this is rapidly increasing. Mm-hmm. You know, do we need to start allocating money for that? Is there some way we need to build that into our plan? You know, how do we essentially take the information that we know right now and use it to our advantage and from a planning perspective?
It would probably be that where you're going to start putting a little higher percent towards just cash reserves. That is your rainy day fund, because that's going to be a rainy day if all of a sudden, hey, guess what? Your premium's doubled now. It's okay, great. Where's that money coming from if you've got everything else earmarked? So definitely it emphasizes the need to build up a nice cash reserve right now.
No question about it. Jim, I mean, how shocked would you be if insurance premiums were double 2 or 3 years from now what they are today?
Well, I expect they'll be somewhere close to that. So I wouldn't be shocked. I'd just be saying, told you so.
If you were the kind of guy that would do that.
Yeah, yeah, if you were a told you so type guy.
Oh, I am.
Well, you know, I don't know what we would do if that takes place. I mean, what would you do? You know, because that money's it's got to come from somewhere. It's got to come out of something.
Right.
So, you know, what was the point again here? I mean, Were hospitals not making money? Were people not getting taken care of? Because all the people I know, if it didn't have insurance, got medical care. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the point of all this was, but I guess we're past that. The reality is everything needs a whole new look. We've got a low interest rate environment, which does not help. That just makes it harder for insurance companies to make money, which means that, you know, they are more prone to lose money and have to raise premiums anyway. Then you've got all the sweeping legislation. You've got all these taxes and changes. All of this stuff is not going to help. There is absolutely no chance at all that health insurance costs go down. They're going up. The question is just how much? That's an awfully sick situation to be in.
Well, the one thing that people are sort of ignoring is as premium costs go up, what people are going to have to do is if they're going to provide medical insurance and that's the goal, they're just going to have to provide mediocre insurance. And so people have good health insurance plans. And remember, the president was saying, you like your insurance, you get to keep it. Well, that's just not necessarily true, because most consumers don't pick their insurance. Their employer does. And the employer is going to sit there and say, I can't afford to pay these increased premiums, so they'll go to a cheaper plan.
Yeah. if they decide to cover you at all, which I just can't see it. You know, I know too many business people. I just can't see them continuing to cover it. It's going to be cheaper to opt out. It's going to be cleaner to opt out. I just don't see it taking place. And what good is that going to do? Well, it's going to ring the bells of a lot of people, and I think we're going to have a lot of people who need to reassess their plan.
There's also one other thing that no one's really considering. Employers frequently have more leverage. If they're a large employer, they have a lot of leverage when they're getting insurance. And so they can negotiate and they can get a lower premium. And from the insurance company, if you're selling a lot of insurance, you've got more risk spread out already. Individuals going into the exchange and buying insurance, they aren't going to have any leverage. And they are automatically going to be paying probably a premium just because of that. Today, if you go out and buy Blue Cross, you're not going to pay the same price that if you have Blue Cross through a large employer.
So just like the whole buying in bulk principle is going to cease to exist, and you're essentially going to be one-offing every single insurance purchase, which is like, you know, buying a piece of candy at the grocery store. I mean, you're paying the absolute highest possible price for it.
Yeah.
That makes sense, and I completely understand that. And that's – I don't know who benefits there, you know, from that, but it certainly doesn't sound like the consumer. And that's really the whole problem here is where is the Affordable Care in the Affordable Care Act? Where is it? Because maybe that's the last thing to rise to the surface. Maybe there's something in there that's good that'll come up eventually once everyone gets done reading it.
You want to make an off-air wager?
let's discuss it momentarily. I don't want to commit to anything on here. All right, great stuff today, guys. Man, I tell you, we got through a lot today. We made you smarter than everyone else, just like we guarantee. Adam Clark, fantastic job. Dave Zimkin, your real estate coach, coming up next. Big thanks to Jim McFall from Neil Dimot. Dan Osgood, my financial planner from freeinvestmentaudit.com. We'll be back again tomorrow at noon to make you smarter than everyone else. We'll see you then.
Hello,